Live from the Skyline Studios, high above Columbus and Wacker Drive, overlooking the beautiful Chicago River. Thanks for joining us. I'm Anna DeVlantis. Hey, a lot more coming up on the show today. After a number of new developments, the abrupt firing, Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson, some new things have been revealed. And if you were with us yesterday, you heard we spoke with Mayor Lightfoot. She called into this very radio program. Her first interview after stepping away from the podium after telling the city that Superintendent Johnson was done. No uncertain terms. She was very strong about how it was a message that she was sending, that he lied to her repeatedly. He misled the public. We're going to get to those new developments in a moment, but let's listen again from that clip of what she told us when she was here on WGN Radio with us.
It became very clear to me that the conduct that he engaged in on the evening of October 16th and into the early morning hours of the 17th were in and of themselves the kind of conduct that just was inconsistent with him continuing to be the leader of the department. And in addition to that, it was clear to me that in order to mask what he had done, he made statements in a press conference and then later to me that were just inconsistent with the reality of what had happened.
So you heard her say what he had done, and a lot of people wondered, well, we know it relates to that incident where he was asleep at the wheel after a few drinks at the restaurant. Then it came out, it was being reported that he was with a woman who was not his wife. And does that all play into the picture? Many have taken issue that that doesn't feel right if that's being taken into account here. If that's, you know, what if that even had any role in his firing, that doesn't seem like a reason to do that. And it certainly doesn't seem like a reason to take his 30-year career of public service, serving the Chicago Police Department, to undermine all of that, of what he's done. But from what I heard from the mayor, I don't know that she cared about that embarrassing detail. And, it certainly is. But if that was that if he had revealed everything and told the truth to her, that that's what she was looking for, and that there may be some other details, potentially not even public yet, that the story in general that he told the mayor didn't add up. We are going to talk more about this, but we have to get right to Ryan Burrow, WGN Radio and ABC News correspondent for us. He tells he's following this story, and Eddie Johnson has released a statement. I just skimmed it, Ryan, but from what it appears, it's a gracious letter to the public, and he's really defending his reputation. Sorry there, Ryan. We gotcha.
We were talking in the newsroom about whether or not we would ever hear from Eddie Johnson again. You know, would he just kind of fade into the sunset? And we would. So this is an interesting statement. He released it obviously a day after he was terminated, and he says that he's disappointed he couldn't finish off his career on January 1st as originally planned. However, he said yesterday's decision was that of Mayor Lori Lightfoot, and he serves at the discretion of the mayor, and that's how it is, and that's how it should be. One thing.
What stands out to you there?
It really kind of pops is in the second paragraph. He says,
me too.
One thing I want everyone to know is this. I did not intentionally mislead or deceive the mayor or the people of Chicago. I acknowledge that I made a poor decision and had a lapse of judgment on the night of October 16th. That was my mistake, and I know that. However, I have no interest in fighting a battle for my reputation with those who want to question it now.
It's interesting because he does use the same exact words the mayor used there, mislead and deceive, some of those words that came out in that press conference. You know, again, he's been on the force for 30 some years, and I think he feels as if he was hoping just to go into retirement. This incident just weeks before made that not able to happen.
I think we all kind of want to see now what is in that inspector general's reports, what is in that video, because there's still a lot of unanswered questions.
So I think the question is it possible that the statements from both the mayor and the former police superintendent are true? And I don't know how they can be, other than that the word he used was intentionally. He said, I did not intentionally mislead or deceive the mayor.
Because you're saying, Steve, that the facts are facts, and that if he had just told the mayor straight what had happened, as she asked, that she would have known, and this wouldn't have been a surprise to her. Plus, there was that public press conference, right, where he recounted the information of what he said happened. Didn't go into a ton of detail, but seemed to sort of look at the meds as being part of the issue here. And you just wonder, what did those videos show? Apparently they have videos outside the restaurant that he came out of. They have other videos of his behavior that night. And it just, you wonder how it all adds up and what it adds up to.
Yeah, and we did hear actually from Charlie Beck, the interim superintendent today. He was asked about everything that's gone on over the last 24 hours. Says he won't talk about the conversations he's had with Eddie Johnson, whom he still considers a friend. Won't talk about the conversations he had with the mayor about this situation. Also said no one is perfect. But he said there needs to be public trust. There needs to be accountability. There needs to be police effectiveness. All these need to play a role in policing, whether it be the superintendent or a brand new beat patrol officer.
Ryan Burrow, thank you so much for weighing in on this. We still have a number of questions here. We're going to talk to Sergeant Pete, 38 years, a Chicago cop. He fully understands the rules and regulations and can break down what happens next, this extraordinary step of firing a police superintendent. That's coming up, and it's Giving Tuesday. Back with more in a moment. All right, it's Anna DeVlantis live from the Skyline Studios. We're turning our attention to Giving Tuesday. That's today when we talk about where we want to give our hard-earned money. And if you have any ideas of a good charity, something you've given to in the past, maybe something, some place you've volunteered for in the past, maybe it's just a charity, a local charity you know of and appreciate what they're doing in your community, 312-981-7200, share it with us. We're going to have some ideas, mostly local ideas, coming up here on the show in just a few minutes. And right now, though, joining us, we have one idea that you may not even think about at a time like this. It's an unusual idea. We think of charity organizations, and there are so many of them in the Chicago area, but this is one that just caught my attention. Attorney Laura Caldwell is checking in with us to tell us about, I know you do a lot with the wrongfully convicted and the wrongfully accused, and this is a way to give if you care about that world and trying to help.
Yeah, Anna, exactly. Innocence organizations like the Illinois Innocence Project or the Center on Wrongful Convictions make sure that people who are convicted of a crime are in fact innocent. And by double checking that system, they often find out that sometimes people who are not innocent at all are still out there and have not served time. So these groups like Illinois Innocence Project and the Center on Wrongful Convictions, the Exoneration Project, they are ones that are looking. If you're concerned about the criminal justice system, if you're hoping that somebody is checking to make sure that these convictions are correct and that the right people are in there, that's who you should be giving your money to. So I'll be giving this year and this Tuesday to the Illinois Innocence Project and the Center on Wrongful Convictions.
All right, that's where you're giving. Thank you. How do we give if someone says, hey, that's where I'd like to give to? What do you do, Laura?
Yeah, just Google IIP Illinois Innocence Project or Google Center on Wrongful Convictions, CWC. So the minute you Google, the first thing that's going to come up is donate. So look at Illinois Innocence Project, Center on Wrongful Convictions. It'll be the first button you see.
All right. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Share your ideas, too. Give us your ideas of where you give your money. Where do you volunteer someplace? Do you give your money to a certain organization that you know is helping? It's interesting. I saw a fact about how we spend more time investigating our restaurant choices than our charity choices. And there are some tools that can help you say, you know, hey, I know of this charity. Let me see, is it really helping the people that I care about or the organization doing what I think it is supposed to do? GiveWell, charitynavigator.org, two places you can go, and you can kind of check ratings. They look at documents, IRS files, they look at all kinds of public filings, and they collect that data, and they can tell you how that charity ranks and if you want to give your hard-earned money to them. We also have with us special guest Dan Hill. He's the CEO of Alma, a new donation platform. And this is interesting, Dan, because you kind of break down charities, and you can break them down by Chicago or any city you want, but there are a number of them in the Chicago area that people can choose to give to. And you make it really easy to navigate because you can say, hey, I care about homeless people. I care about certain issues in the world, and this is how I want to allocate my money. You give people choices about where they can donate.
That's exactly right. We started Alma back in San Francisco, actually, where we had the same problem. We wanted to help people who were homeless in San Francisco, and there was something like 400 charities to kind of research. And we thought, hey, you know, if we have this problem, maybe other people do too. So we built Alma. And we think it's a really great place to go discover, particularly local organizations, organizations that are doing really great work, right in your backyard. And so we make it really easy. You can search by city, by cause area, and we really try and highlight, organizations where your dollars go a long way. So particularly on days like today for Giving Tuesday, you know, if you give to an organization with a perhaps a smaller budget, a local organization, your dollars can have a really outsized impact for them today.
You know, one of the things, Dan, I often hear from people is I want to make sure that a lot of the money is flowing through to the actual people you're supposed to help. Like, you don't want, you have to have some administrative costs, of course. I mean, in order to operate any kind of charitable organization, you need efficient people working there. So there are expenses to operating it, but I think people get turned off. I know I do, when you see that there are these inordinate expenses given to salaries and less than half the budget is going to the people. Does your site help vet some of those charities and let us know what we're dealing with? How do you go about looking at that?
Yeah, so similar to sites like you mentioned, like GiveWell and Charity Navigator, we look at a lot of information from the IRS and from their tax filings, as well as, you know, social media accounts and other places. And so we make it very clear which organizations we think have healthy financials, and so spending the right amount of money on staff versus program spend. But we also help you see things like which organizations are putting that money to work in the local community, or which organizations are really good for volunteering, or which organizations are perhaps new and up and coming and are kind of exciting to see a new approach. And the other great thing about particularly local organizations is they often don't even have the budgets to pay their staff that much to begin with. And so, you know, they're the ones where, you know, an extra $20 can go a long way. And it's perhaps a team of 5-10 people, mostly who are not the ones, you know, the big organizations that can afford to even pay large salaries.
You have a list here. It's called ALMA.app, ALMA.app. And you have everything from giving to the Field Museum and local museums. But you also break it down to causes. And I have to tell you, there are so many choices. It's amazing. Under the topic of homelessness, you have the top 57 nonprofits across the Chicago mm-hmm. area, including La Casa Norte, DePaul. There are so many options here. Can people click on them and they get to find out exactly what they do? What other kind of information or data do you get when you look at your site?
So when you look at a nonprofit, we have information about their financials, their team, which can come from the IRS. Many nonprofits then actually claim their pages on ALMA and provide even more information around, you know, particular programs that they work on, where your money goes, and provide giving guides. So, you know, hey, if you give us $10, that can kind of turn into this kind of impact, or $100 can be this kind of impact. And so we really try to make it really easy for donors to kind of browse and discover not only charities that are sort of have healthy financials, but also ones that are doing work they're interested in, and connect to them, you know, and the stories and the people they're actually helping.
Our Children's Trust is a great effort to contribute to. A texter is telling us from the 630, support climate preservation. And then we have others who are also the Animal Care League of Oak Park, Illinois. That's another small no-kill shelter. I know those are always in need of our funds. And we've got others coming our way. So 312-981-7200. We'd like to hear from you if you do have some sort of organization that you know about and that you've had a good experience with, or you just know is doing the right thing, and tell us about it, and we'll share it with our listeners. Let people know where they want to give, because, you know, it's interesting. 50% of America gives $800. I saw this stat somewhere and I felt like that was a big number, but it doesn't matter how much you give, right? You can give $10 to an organization. It can help. That can add up with the number of people giving. Do you see the increments? What is the average increment, Dan, that you see giving to your site?
Yeah, so most donors on our site are giving around $50 per donation, which absolutely adds up. For some of our organizations working on homelessness in San Francisco, you know, we've raised now, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars for them just from small donations of $50. I think the thing that's interesting, too, is that 70% of donations in the U.S. go to charities within 40 miles of where the donor lives. And so I think, you know, although we hear a lot about, you know, the bigger charities, the Red Crosses and such, I think a lot of people are really interested in putting, you know, $20, $50 to a great local cause. And it does actually make a difference. It really adds up.
Dan Hill, the site is alma.app, ALMA.app. It's a list of charities that, including those locally, where you can give your money and donate on this Giving Tuesday. Thank you so much, Dan, for checking in with us.
Thank you.
Eddie Johnson's firing. His statement and the analysis from a cop 38 years on the force coming up here on WGN. Live from the the Skyline Studios. A number of things to digest, a number of people to digest it with. We've got Ryan Burrow back in the studio here to tell us about this statement just released this afternoon from Superintendent Eddie Johnson, seeming to defend his reputation and really be concerned with that. We also have Sergeant Pete Kokonis, 38 years, a Chicago cop, also worked in IAD, is familiar with rules and regulations and can answer questions about what happens next for Eddie Johnson. You know, I read this statement just really quickly because you handed it to me before we came on air here, Ryan, and it does seem as if he's saying, hey, look at what I've done over 33 years. Try to judge me on that and not this one incident. And maybe that's really fair in this case.
He says reputations are not built in a day and not damaged in a day either. Mm-hmm. And he goes on to say, you know, look, he'd been on the beat since the 1980s. He had had this job for a long time. He's a cop. He's always been a police officer, and he always sees himself as a police officer. But as we reset, he says, the one thing I want everyone to know is I did not intentionally mislead or deceive the mayor or the people of Chicago. I acknowledge that I made a poor decision and had a lapse of judgment on that night of October 16th. That was my mistake, and I know that. And then goes on to say, I have no interest in fighting a battle for my reputation with those that want to question it. Now, would that person be the mayor? I'm not exactly sure. But
you can read a number of things into this, for sure.
It absolutely could. And then he goes on to talk about his time serving, his time in public service. He thanks the mayor, Mayor Lightfoot, Mayor Emanuel, elected officials, talks about Charlie Beck, glowingly, and then thanks the people of Chicago as well.
The mayor didn't come out and talk about this other woman issue. She left that detail out. It was new. It was the reporters. We all, you know, people went after that piece of the story. So is it fair to put that on the mayor?
You know, to be honest with you, this is something that the Tribune and Sun-Times have picked up on as far as what this video shows. We don't have confirmation of any of this yet. We're just kind of pointing to them at this point. We don't know what's in that IG report.
That's a good point.
We don't know what it is she's looking at. And as Steve Bertrand brought up, mm-hmm. We're hearing kind of two different things. Is it possible that these two statements, one from the mayor and one from the superintendent, can coexist and both be correct? Or is someone not being truthful?
And the other issue here is this mayor has talked a lot about transparency, and this inspector general's report, it's not complete yet. She's seen this early preview of what it is. I guess in January, we should expect it to be complete, and should we expect it to become public is the other question.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, she didn't seem to have any firm words yesterday. I think you asked her that directly,
we did.
Right?
We asked about that, and we were wondering, will we get to see that? That's unclear. But one thing is clear. Eddie Johnson is fighting for his reputation. He had a gracious letter. He thanked the mayor, Lightfoot by name, Mayor Emanuel as well, who initially put him in office, and all the great women and men in blue who continue to serve. Keep the faith and idealism that drew you to public service. So a very gracious letter from Eddie Johnson. Thank you, Ryan Burrow, for recapping the latest developments there. Sergeant Pete Kokonis is here, 38 years, a Chicago police officer. My question for you is, can a police superintendent lie to the mayor in this way? If he did, in fact, mislead or lie or didn't come up with the right facts, if that is the case, and it seems that's what the mayor is representing here, can you do that and keep your job, even if this is a personal incident that's outside the realm of being on duty?
No. As simple as that. No. His police officers are held to a higher standard. If this would have been an officer in a blue shirt and he was found asleep at the wheel, he would have done a field sobriety test. He would have been subjected to the alcohol influence report, and he probably would have had to blow the breathalyzer. If the superintendent just flashed a star and drove away, he violated all these rules and put these other officers in an embarrassing and an untenable position for them to defend what they did. Realistically, they should have got a supervisor who called the IAD and had the superintendent order downtown. To perform those tests.
If there was just a situation where there is this other situation with a woman who's not his wife, if that's true, and as Ryan points out, that's what we're hearing at this point, that's what's being reported by the Tribune and the Sun-Times, is that even any reason, would that even add to any reason to have any disciplinary action whatsoever? Is that something you'd even care about?
No,
if you're the mayor or if you're IAD?
This could have been a childhood friend. This could have been somebody that he's known his entire life, and they sat down and they were at this restaurant, and they had a few drinks, they had dinner. It has nothing to do with his moral code or his moral compass, Nobody knows who this woman was. Nobody cares who this woman is. She's not relative to this. Mm-hmm. All that's relative is a video that was available that shows that he might have had more than two drinks, as he said. And that would indicate when the mayor asked him, say, and he says, oh, it's my blood pressure medicine. I had two drinks. At first, he said it was my blood pressure medicine. Then he tells the mayor, I had two drinks. Almost, you ask any policeman to stop somebody that they think could maybe be under the influence. How many drinks do you have? Two.
That's what you say.
Yeah.
That's the pat answer.
I had two beers. Yeah, I had two beers.
In this case, he didn't have a conversation with those officers.
No.
There was sort of a badge flashed, the way that we've heard. The details we've heard so far, there was a badge flashed through a window and kind of, that's it.
Yeah, well, I never stood for that. If if I pulled you over and you were speeding or you were whatever and you showed me your badge and took off, I chased you again. And then said, that's not proper.
If you paid attention to national news at all, this has made national news. It was on all the morning news programs. You go on any national news site, and Eddie Johnson, and unfortunately, it's the embarrassing details that make the headlines as always, but he served for 30-some years. We can't forget that. He did not ask for this job. He was
right. He
appointed.
Was picked. He was
Lori
Lightfoot was the head of the police board. The police board submits three names to the mayor to be picked. He takes none or one, or he rejects them all and they have to submit other names. Emanuel chose to reach down and get Eddie Johnson because of his reputation and his career and figured this guy would be a good superintendent. For all intents and purposes, this guy was a good superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
He was okay. He got caught up in this Laquan McDonald. Then he got caught up in the lieutenant scandal, the promotion scandal. And now he got caught in this thing.
There were moments I think he really seemed to speak for the heart of the city. Post Jussie Smollett, when he talked about doing the right thing. And he talked about how he had brought just scorn and just bad feelings about our city in the worst possible way. There were moments, I think, that he really drew the public in as a leader of the police force, that he connected with all of us as well. But I want to ask you, how do you think the rank and file, regular police officers walking the streets, how do they view this move?
Well,
do you have any sense of that?
Yeah, I mean, from the people that I talk to or social media and stuff like that, the actual feeling is, hey, he was a good guy, but he screwed up. And if it would have been anybody else but the superintendent, there would have been a harsh investigation.
Oh, really?
There would have. Oh, absolutely. They would have had the field sobriety, the alcohol influence report. He would have blown. He would have been. I mean, you can't put the superintendent in callback and say answer the phones for 30 days or 60 or 90 days. He's the superintendent. And exempt ranks, whether people know it or not, policemen can get suspended from 1 to 30 days. You can give them 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 4 days. Exempt ranks, they start at 7 and go to 14 and go to 28. They don't get that 1 day. So when they're found to have done something wrong or made a mistake, we have to understand O.W. Wilson, who was a guy that they brought in after the babbling burglar scandal in the 20th District. And I read a book by him, and it stuck with me all these years, and basically it said, discipline is supposed to be used to educate, not punish. And that's what this city has to do. Educate, not punish.
I want to ask you, Sergeant Pete Kokonis, that when we come back, we have to take a break here, but a lot of people wondering what happens next. People are saying you can't touch his pension. Don't answer that yet. We want to find out. This is an unusual step to have to fire a police superintendent in such an abrupt way after so many years of service. So I want to ask you, because I know you're familiar with all the rules and regulations, what happens next for Eddie Johnson? That coming up here on WGN Radio in a moment. Thank you for continuing to tell us the charities that you're giving to, the ones that you recommend. I did want to read this text here. 847, Anna, you remember Dreams for Kids? I totally do. Local charity founded by Tom Tuohy. Charity Navigator doesn't rate it, and I did not know this, because it's under $1 million. So that's the one flaw with that system. You want to check a big charity or big organization and decide if you want to give your funds to it. Charity Navigator does help you. They assemble a whole bunch of data, a lot of questions answered in terms of giving it a rating and that kind of thing to tell you if it's a good place to give your money. But I didn't realize if it's under $1 million. So some of these smaller, needier organizations and our local organizations would definitely fall under that category. So that is why we rely on friends and people who have experience with the different organizations to tell us where to put our money. All right. Our conversation continues with Sergeant Pete Kokonis. People who know you say I have to keep my finger on the dump button when I talk to you, but somehow you managed to get you. I don't know, off air. You're just a different. You have a different language, I would say, Sergeant Pete, than you do on the air.
Wow,
you do. You know that I've respected you and loved you for 30. How many years?
Very articulate.
Known you for years, so I just I always appreciate your analysis on these kinds of things. And I know there are a lot of misconceptions out there, a lot about what happens next for Eddie Johnson. I know some people really would like to see him treated okay in terms of does he get to keep his pension. And there's a lot of people taking to Facebook and social media where you know it's not always factual, but people are saying, "Hey, he's going to lose his pension." He will not lose his pension, right?
No. He's going to get 75% of the best four of his last 10. So him being fired Monday, he comes out with a few hundred dollars, maybe less a month. You take 75% of, I think his salary is around 260 or more. You're not going to have a tag day for him. What it will affect, though, and people don't realize, if you are separated under investigation or quit under investigation, you technically should not get a retirement star and a retirement ID card.
Hmm.
Now, I wonder if they're going to make allowances for this guy and let him get a retirement star and a retirement ID card. Because technically, personnel or human resources, as it's called now, could deny him that, and I know a person they did that to, a lieutenant.
Mm-hmm. For much more than this?
For...
And you don't have to explain what it is.
It wasn't much more than this. She just retired under investigation.
Huh. Well, that would be the interesting part, but he does keep his pension, so there's nothing anybody...
Right. You've got to be convicted of a felony in the course of official misconduct or something... Basically, you know, a crime while you were working.
Mm-hmm. So Charlie Gates takes over now. He's the interim superintendent from L.A., somebody who understands the reform agenda and that kind of thing. Is he being well received by Chicago Police Department, from what you've heard?
Yeah,
how do people like him?
Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Nothing. Nobody. He hasn't been here enough to talk to anybody. You know, he went and talked to some detectives, and he said there's going to be a lot of changes, but there's a lot of people that are retiring that are taking advantage of the insurance and everything. So, you know, he's got to get somebody to advise him on who's who and what's what within this department.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's tough for a guy to come in cold. But the guy's been a policeman 40 years. I mean, Los Angeles had their own scandals with Rampart. So there's no big city in this country that hasn't had a scandal in their police departments. And it's, you know, it's 1% of the police department might be bad. But the other 99% aren't.
Right, and they're deserving of our respect, that the portion of the police department, and it's such a small minority, as we've talked about on so many occasions, that just sort of give a bitter taste in the mouth of citizens when they see things that are wrong, right? They see things that are wrong, and they don't like seeing that. But it's, what, 13,000 people?
13,400. An issue, they've increased the arrest and homicide clearance rate by 22% over the last 2 years. It's over 50%. They also, the most important thing to me is they take a gun off the street once every 48 minutes.
Hmm.
So we've recovered over 10,000 guns. And we're not talking about, these are guns that are registered. We haven't even hit, which would be for another day maybe, these ghost guns and guns that you can make yourself. I mean, it's not like the days of Blackboard Jungle with the zip gun. You know, this is...
For people who don't know, what's a ghost gun?
I can go on the internet, and Clint Eastwood and John Malkovich had a movie where he made a gun out of plastic. But what you can do is you can order the different parts of a weapon, a barrel, a firing mechanism, a handle, a slide, and put them all together, and with minimal work, make a functionable firearm. which has no serial number and which cannot be traced. So we have, you have ghost guns. We stop the bump stocks and these other little $29 things.
When you see the number of guns that are being taken off the streets, and I know there are a number of them, do you see a number of ghost guns? I mean, how frequent is that to come across one of those?
You know, it's something I never checked into. That's mm-hmm. something that I'm not...
You just know that the ability is there.
It's there. I mean, they make ghost guns. They can do anything they want now.
Right. It's a troubling thing to think about. There are some good... There are some positive things coming out of the police department right now. We are seeing the homicide clearance rate and a number of other crime numbers improving. I know there were lately the clearance rates were something that were getting a lot of attention for being not where we'd want them to be. And now it seems as if they've improved quite dramatically.
Good policemen are going to be good policemen. Whether you support them or you like them or you don't like them, whatever, a good policeman is out there 24/7 protecting the life and property of the people in the city. Mm-hmm. The men and women that wear those blue shirts every day are the ones that are out there protecting us. And I say us because, you know, I'm a senior now. Mm-hmm. They're there. When I need help, I call them. When you need help, you call them.
Sure.
When you need advice, you call them.
Well, the overwhelming majority of them would give their life to save yours, and you can't forget that piece of it. I think in my career as a journalist, I've often exposed the bad cops because I feel as if they unfairly paint a picture of the department, and I've always felt that there should be more efforts to try to root out those few guys and women who are doing the wrong thing, because it improves the entire image of the police department and a deserving image of being people who should be respected and trusted. And that's something that needs to be rebuilt in a lot of communities. That's not easy to do. It's not easy to do.
No, it's not. And because of the way crime is going in the city, a policeman in a busy district, like, say, 7-Eleven, 15-2, he doesn't have time to get out of the car and talk to anybody in the neighborhood, because he's going from shooting to robbery to sex assault to whatever. So he doesn't have a time to say, hey, how you doing, what's going on, whatever. He doesn't have that time, because in his 8.5 or 9 hours at working, he is really working. He's busting his hump for most of that time.
Mm-hmm. These are tough times. And did you know Eddie Johnson personally?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you like him?
Yes.
Do you like him? Yes.
Yes.
Well, I hope for the best for him for the future. I really do.
I don't think he's, this is just a blip, a small blip in the radar that the news media jumped on. The mayor's hand was forced, and, the newspaper said
she made a bold move.
It wasn't a bold move. She found out the man that she trusted with the police department lied to her.
Okay.
If the guy that owns WGN catches you lying, you're out the door,
it's
too.
It's very possible. Absolutely true. It's absolutely possible. Do you think that moving on, that we will find a good police chief? It's a difficult task, isn't it? Because that's the next step of this whole thing. Okay, Eddie Johnson's out. Now we have an interim, but you got to get somebody to lead this department for the future.
Yeah, you got to, being an academic and being, from a small town or being here, being there, the bottom line is you have to be able to think outside the box. Mm-hmm. You have to fix what's wrong. And the way to fix what's wrong is to talk to that man and woman in that blue shirt to tell you, this is what's wrong here. This is what you have to do to fix.
Sergeant Pete Kokonis, 38 years a Chicago cop. Thank you for your service to our city. And thanks for weighing in today on this big day. Big couple of days for the city in terms of finding a new superintendent and Eddie Johnson's future. Thanks, Pete. Coming up here, we've got Tech Tuesday. We're going to talk about how your TV could be spying on you and how to secure your phones better and your devices better than you already do. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Live from the Skyline Studios, you're listening to WGN. This is Anna DeBlantis. Keep your ideas coming on this Giving Tuesday, 312-981-7200, Trio Animal Foundation. They save the sick and critical from shelters, provide them with advanced hospitalization and medical care. So that's one of the recommendations. 773 St. John's Lutheran Church on Montrose in Jefferson Park, amazing food pantry that relies on donations year-round. They've served the homeless and underserved the needy for so many years. And so people rely on this particular food pantry every week. Great place to go. And I volunteer there. So I know that's a great recommendation. Thank you for telling us about that. All right. I'm excited. We have two people here for Tech Tuesday in the studio. Scott Catoon, the CEO of TechNori and the host of the Startup Showcase, I must mention, right here on WGN Radio. He does an amazing job. I always learn something, and then I'm scared later about my cybersecurity. I feel like I'm just, like, freaked out that the world, just everybody's staring at me. Darren Guccione, CEO and co-founder of Caper Security. He knows personal tech. He can answer your personal tech questions. And we've got a number of topics to get to, but if you have a question for Darren about how to keep your devices safe, what you should be doing that maybe you're not already, he can answer that. He's the guy. You know, Darren, you're a success story here in Chicago. CEO of Caper Security. Tell us first, though, what your company does, because you've been around for a while now and you've been hugely successful. You're based here, right?
Yep, absolutely. And thanks for having me. But so Caper Security creates a ubiquitous digital vault that runs on every smartphone, tablet, computer. So inside that vault, you can store all of your passwords for all of your websites, applications, databases at work, notes, lists, files, photos.
So you
videos.
Put it all in your file or your profile at Caper Security, and then how do you access all, how does the data transcend? Does it automatically populate when you go to a site or when you go to a certain banking site or something like that you need your password for?
Exactly. So Caper takes it one step further. So the key to security when you're online is to use a high-strength random password for every single website that you use. It's not a good idea to use the same password on multiple websites, because cyber criminals know that 60% of the time, when, you know, there's a breach and they get access to those stolen credentials, people traditionally use the same password for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So Caper generates,
or a variation thereof. Even variations is not good enough,
correct,
right?
Correct. Because they dictionary the list of these stolen credentials, and there's billions of credentials now on the dark web that are being bought and sold by cyber criminals. So they dictionary these, and then they use them for brute force attacks against, you know, your websites, your social media accounts, your email, banking, etc. So Caper generates a high-strength random password, saves it for that particular site, and then auto-logs you in, you know, by filling those credentials in for you. So not only does it make you more secure, it makes you more productive because it saves you time. Mm-hmm. You're not fumbling around with passwords anymore.
Mm-hmm. I'm always fumbling around with passwords. I feel like, I always feel like as soon as I've gotten to the point where, okay, I feel like my devices are safe, there's like mm-hmm. some new development, that there's some new story that comes out and says, hey, two-factor authentication isn't good enough, or something like that kind of freaks me out a bit.
Yeah. Two-factor authentication is actually great to use. We're proponents of it because, yeah, it helps you mitigate the risk of a remote data breach. So if somebody is, you know, just not in your office, but let's say in a different country or different state or what have you, it really helps secure you because it's a second factor, right? There's something that you know, such as your master password, and then something that you have, like a 6-digit unique code that only you hold mm-hmm. and have access to. So that really bolsters security when you use it the right way.
So let's just define that for people who are listening who may not know. You may be using it, but it's you put in a password and it'll send you a text message potentially, must put in this code in order to proceed. Even if you have the right password, it needs a second factor to identify that it actually is you. You're saying that's good. If that's on your banking site, you should feel protected.
Absolutely, and it takes it one step further. So we always like elegant solutions when it comes to two factors. So a really strong, elegant solution might be your fingerprint or your retina, right, through an eye scan, right? Mm-hmm. And we have these
Do
types of technologies.
That? Do you have an eye scan kind of thing set up?
Yeah.
What do you use?
Well, I use the technology that's available on devices, and it's built in today. But at Caper, we use two-factor authentication and really strengthen and focus on biometrics because it's more elegant. Whenever you ask someone to enter a 6-digit code or something that's more complex, you know, if it's going to take someone more time, they typically don't want to deal with it. So we work really hard to unify convenience and security mm-hmm. in a single platform.
Let's bring Scott Catoon back into the conversation over here. You were talking off air how you wanted to get, is a Tesla Cybertruck on your wish list for the Christmas, the holidays?
100%. And I also want to say I'm a user of Caper as well.
So, yeah, I am too. And I didn't even know Darren before he stepped into the studio today. I just heard great things about it. I heard it was a local company, and I saw like the success stories about you. I thought it was great.
We've made a list of different things everyone out here needs.
Let's hear it. Okay, I like this, Scott.
We can work through it, and I hope you add to this this list. And I think it was just really funny that I went through this whole thing, and I walked in, and Darren walks in, and the first thing he says to me is like, Cybertruck? And I was like, oh my God, I forgot this on the list, and I actually put money on it, which my wife probably is not so thrilled with. But so Cybertruck, if anyone's not familiar, it's a Tesla. It comes out in like 2021.
Wait, isn't that the one where they threw the ball at the windows and they're supposed to be shatterproof, and then they really kind of shattered? Wasn't that like a big epic fail?
Yeah, it was a huge failure. And then my favorite like Elon Musk moment is he just stood there and is like, I won't say the word because we're on radio, what he said.
Thank you.
He was just like, beep, and that's no good, and then just went on with it. He didn't even stop. But here's the thing, right? We call this a bust. They sold a down payment, $100, so not a lot of money, 250,000 units, which is, you know, what, $10 billion plus dollars in sales, if that actually holds true. Regardless, it's like 18, almost 20 million in cash flow they brought in.
It's something about it. There's something so sexy about the Tesla, I think. Scott Cottoon and Darren Guccione are our guests. It's Tech Tuesday. They'll answer your questions, but we're going to get to your list, Scott. And thank you for bringing that in just a moment here on WGN Radio. Keep your charity ideas and your giving ideas coming. Shriners Hospital, thank you for that. 630, another great place to give your money to. They provide services for families at little to no charge. So another great idea there. Scott Cottoon, Darren Guccione, our tech guys are here right now. We talked about personal security. And Scott, you had gotten to this list that you brought in of things we need to know about. So what do you got?
So Darren and I both have a list, and I hope you do too, and everyone out there. So we'll break these down. And Darren, feel free to chime in anytime.
Sure.
Apple is the word here. So Apple AirPod Pro, I have them, I love them. I think they're already discounted in some places on Amazon, so that's one that people can get $240, $30 right now in discounts. Smart Lock is going to be this year's Amazon Alexa.
Now, wait, what's Smart Lock? Is that when you can just hold your phone up and the lock opens on your door?
It can be. So there's different versions of Smart Lock. The one that I'm, the discounted one, it's like $149 on Amazon right now, can be texted open. You can have a single password, which Darren could definitely talk about whether this is good or not, that you can send to like a dog walker or somebody. So like your house is open to others if you want to make it open to others, which is debatable as to whether or not that's...
Do you have a camera access that you can see who's coming and going as well?
So
is part of that app or
so,
part of that
you
device?
You can. So if you have the Ring one, then yes. If you have some of the more discounted ones, then no. But yeah, so that's a big one. And then there's like Mirror, a big theme here, right? Getting inside of your house. Mirror.co is sort of a
mirror,
playoff.
Like M-I-R-R-O-R?
Yep.
Correct. Mirror?
Yep.
Okay.
And it's kind of a play on Peloton. So like you have Peloton, you hop on
the exercise bike?
Correct, yeah. So you hop on the bike and you can ride along with instructors. This is the same thing. You can have an instructor do yoga or whatever else. And the number
Will you go on this and you get taught? They teach you how to do yoga and things like
this? It can be taught. It can be just really anything that doesn't require heavy equipment that you can do with free weights or bands or something. It's simple, meant for you to work out with a pal. And then on the mirror, you obviously see yourself, but you can see the people on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And you also can see maybe if you have an Apple Watch, like a heart rate or something like that tracks your activity. That's another one that you're seeing commercials. If you have like Comcast cable, they bought up, I think, all the commercials. And then the surprise one I had that I think is interesting is Disney Plus subscriptions.
What about that? Can you get them a deal on those?
Not really a deal unless you think $4.99 a month is a deal, but you can buy family subscriptions and give it away as a gift. So like my wife bought
that's a good idea.
Yeah, exactly, right? And it's fun. They own, you know, a lot of, it's not just cartoons. They have
Star Wars.
Star Wars, so Fox, 20th Century Fox they bought, you know, so they've got
amazing how
Simpsons.
Much content there is on
it's
that.
An insane amount of
we
content.
Did sign up for that and it's paid off for, I think it's paid off for the month. What about you, Darren? What do you got?
I have Cybertruck, AirPod Pros, and a 27-inch iMac on my list.
27-inch iMac? Is it the newest and latest and greatest kind of thing?
Yeah, just the newest and latest. Yeah.
See, so. I don't really need the newest and latest. I don't know. I'm not one of the, I mean, you're in that world where that really matters. I feel like I wait, I see how it works, and then jump in a little later. Do you have the best iPhone? What do you have?
I mean, we get all the test devices at work. I'm used to the latest and greatest. But the device that I have at my house is, you know, probably a 5-year-old iMac. So it's time for a new one.
Yeah.
You were talking about, Anna, about trucks. And in Texas, it's one out of every four trucks.
Pickup truck. One out of four is a pickup truck, is the stat I saw.
In the nerd world, new computers is like you have to, the envy of the world. My producer, Sam, just showed up today with a brand new 16-inch MacBook. And I'm like, I have an 2018 15-inch MacBook. Same power specs, different keyboard. Kind of feel like going across the street to Apple and buying a new computer.
Oh my gosh, it's crazy. It's just crazy. Yeah, I'm not in their world. Let me ask you, though, another question, because this is something I hear all the time. Is there something we should be doing already to protect our devices and phones that we're probably not? Like, you guys see this stuff all the time. Sometimes there's simple things that people are like, oh, I didn't know that. I'm not doing that.
Well, so many people don't use passcodes to protect their phones. They leave them open. That's the biggest issue that I see right out of the gate.
My dad does that. My mom does that. Yeah. Everybody does
that.
Really? Yeah. And then when you get into the phone, you know, you can just, it's almost like it's an open field. You just start scrolling through apps and go into Facebook without any passcodes. People just leave it completely open.
The big mistake that, like, my parents make is they think that the password is protecting them from you, my husband or spouse, going through my stuff. No, it's everybody else in the world that it's protecting.
They don't really keep their phone out of their sight. Maybe you just feel like it's okay. It's on you know, the desk at work, or it's on your counter at home, your kitchen counter. Is somebody gonna scoop in and swoop in and grab it and start checking out your banking information? Why do we worry about this so much?
If I was a hacker, a cyber criminal, I would steal smartphones, because within 2 hours, a good hacker can break into it. And so when you have physical access to a device, and you know that this is like the convergence device of the universe, everything about somebody is on this device.
That's so true.
For example, do you delete your text messages?
Not really, no. Until I get full storage, and then I have to say, oh, you got to delete something. And I'm like, okay, I'll get some rid of some of these.
Can you imagine, like, just getting into her phone and seeing what text messages she sent?
I'm sure they're all nice.
Well, the bottom line is, you know people, that. What they say and they send back and forth in text isn't...
Texting passwords to things?
Oh, yeah.
My parents
passwords,
do all the time. What's
photos.
Your email and password? Like,
I did that the other day, and I felt so uneasy, but someone in my family needed a password to something, and I thought, oh my gosh, I have to text this.
So now I feel vulnerable. What, $29 a month?
Yeah, so the key right, you want to lock down personal identifiable information.
Okay.
You know, you don't want to have it out there, and you got to think about security. It's almost like it has to be built into your mindset today, because nobody essentially is safe when they think that they are. And at the end of the day, you know, there's privacy concerns. I mean, the TVs, we were talking about smart TVs a little earlier.
Talk about the smart TVs, because this is something that freaks me out, frankly, because you start looking at the TV in your living room, that it, I guess they're vulnerable to hacking. A lot of them are now built-in cameras. They're equipped with facial recognition software. I did not know that.
They're looking at you.
I did not know that my TV was seeing who was on the couch or who was watching or who was in front of it. Is this really happening? Most TVs?
Yeah, I mean, here's what it comes down to. You know, at first, you know, there was this Russian website that, you know, contained thousands of cameras by city. You could just go to the website, type in your city, and you would see security cameras, like almost like the old Brady Bunch screen, right, where everything's tiled,
like, and the grid.
Yeah, it's a grid. It's like Hollywood Squares, right? No one realizes that they're being watched, right? Well,
and
now
it was just people watching their televisions.
Well, no, just people being watched by virtue of hacking into their security cameras.
Oh, I see.
So they don't realize that, you know, these hackers are watching them, and it's really eerie. Now, consider this. When you look at a smart TV, the smart TV is the master convergence device for aggregating all types of information. So, for example, it would be everything you're doing, everything you're searching, everything you're watching, your web activity.
Are they getting this data and pulling it together? Is somebody doing this, like a TV manufacturer? Is that legal? Are they?
Well, Samsung was doing it.
Really?
Actually, no, I correct that. Vizio was doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Vizio was doing it, I recall, and they got fined. I think it was $2.2 million for doing this. But at the end of the day, when you think about what is being aggregated and collected on a smart TV, the danger is not what the OEM's doing. It's not what the manufacturer's doing. It's what a cyber criminal could be doing
when they breach the big company
and hack into those units, what they're able to collect and watch. And that's the problem. So the key to a network is to protect endpoints. So in your house, anything that connects to the internet by virtue of a TV is what you call a smart TV. Yep. It's just a TV that connects
anything
to the internet.
Connects to the internet. Well,
that's it. So if you have a smart refrigerator, a smart TV, a thermostat, any type of smart device, you have...
There's a potential to hack it, right?
Once you breach one device, you could permeate a network. So it's really important to use firewalls through a router at your home and start thinking more about security.
Super helpful advice, super helpful stuff. Scott Catoon, you can hear him here on the Startup Showcase. He's the CEO of Technori. Darren Guccione, CEO and co-founder of Chicago's success story company, Keeper Security. Check him out at www.keepersecurity.com. Thank you both. I appreciate it.
Thank
come back again.
Us.
That is super helpful. All of that advice. More to come here on WGN Radio. Live from the Skyline Studios, this is Anna DeVlantis. We're talking about travel on this Travel Tuesday. Our guest is Jennifer Jolly, Emmy Award-winning consumer tech contributor. She's at USA Today. You see her there. You see her on the Today Show, New York Times. You see her everywhere. She's one of the experts when it comes to all things tech and deals, too. You had some of the best reporting, Jennifer, on the cyber deals. I read your column in the USA Today about, hey, don't get fooled by retailers. Here's how to beat everybody and get the best deals. And it was really, really a great, great article. So can you share some more of that advice?
You.
Are there still some cyber deals to be had, even though we're way past Cyber Monday or one day past Cyber Monday?
Absolutely. And I've been a reporter now for many, many years. And as you know, this is one of those stories we cover year after year. So I'm constantly trying to find the new information out there, those tricky little secrets retailers might not want you to know about. And I was able to track some good ones down this year. And one of those is really the knowledge that consumers have the power this year. With six fewer days between Thanksgiving and Christmas, that has really sent retailers into a frenzy of trying to make sure we spend all of the money they need us to spend before the end of the holiday season. That ends up being a big win for us because we're able to say, okay, well, we're willing to pay this, but not that for a specific product. And they're more likely to take us up on that lower price offer because that's better than not having a sale at all. So they've marked items down more than we've ever seen before. And they're continuing to run sales a little bit longer than we've seen. Typically, the sales are kind of over between Cyber Monday and about the week before Christmas, but not this year. Most of those Cyber Monday sales are still going on at least through about midday to end of day tomorrow.
So we had a number of people call in and let us know here at WGN Radio that they felt like, you know, Cyber Monday deals, I feel like I can get them any day. Some people did say, hey, I got a great deal. Others said, you know what, I feel like this is still going to be available in a few days or even mid-December. Did you see what you saw, the data you collected, did you see that a number of things did sell out and were difficult to get after Cyber Monday was over?
No, I have not seen a whole lot of things selling out. There have been ends of big sales. I am furnishing a house that we bought back in April, and it's taking us months and months and months to renovate it and furnish it. And I got on some of those Wayfair, some of those furniture sites and saw, you know, hey, I can get 50% off these leveler blinds. But I didn't do it by midnight last night. And now that one deal is gone. But because of the browser extensions that I have every time I online shop, things like Invisible Hand, Honey, or Camel, 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 I was able to see, hey, these blinds have gone down to this low price before. They're likely to do it again. So I think around first week of January, I'll have another chance to get the deal on those blinds. So it's not like we're out on the deals. The hottest selling toys are not yet sold out this year. There's still a chance to get those LOL surprise dolls and the Jedi Fallen Order, Nintendo Switch bundles, things like that. Those things that are the hottest must buys, they are still available. Now, one thing you might have missed out on are $20 or $30 off of Apple products. Whenever you see a deal on an Apple product, it is wise to snag that up as soon as possible because those deals are rare and hard to find.
Jennifer, you said something about some browsers you have. I hadn't heard of. Did you say Camel, Camel, Camel? Was that something? What is that and how does that help you? Is that something we all need?
Yes, if you shop online, which most of us do these days, you need these extensions. So these are apps that you download on your laptop or your desktop,
And they are working in the background to find you the best deal. So I've been using Invisible Hand. It's getinvisiblehand.com. It's a discreet notification when there are lower prices available on a product. This includes flights, hotels, rental cars, anything out you're shopping for on Amazon, any of the furniture, the clothes. Another thing I was looking for yesterday was makeup from Sephora. It pointed out that there were lower prices, whether it's on eBay or Amazon or across the internet. It's working so that you don't have to. It's sort of the modern day coupon clipping with really no work from you at all.
It's amazing. I did not know about that, and I'm going to check those out because it sounds like you can really comparison shop and get some good deals, which is what we're also talking about on Travel Tuesday. Now, it seems as if traveling is an expensive thing, for sure. And if you're not already planning to take a vacation, it doesn't actually help you to start, you know, doling out thousands of dollars to get a vacation, right? That doesn't sound like a deal then. But if you already sort of think in the near future you want to take a vacation or get a cheap flight, you know you're going somewhere, are there deals to be had today that you think are really good?
There are some great deals today, but keep in mind that these shopping holidays, they exist so that retailers can get you to spend money on things that you normally wouldn't. So, the goal for them is to hook you with a good deal for something you already want in hopes that you'll buy a few things that you didn't want to. That's the same as with, you know, going into a store on Black Friday. It's that same kind of idea, lure you in with some great deal and then have you buy a whole bunch of stuff you don't really need. So generally, Tuesdays are a cheaper day to book airfare in general throughout the year. I travel about 10,000 miles a month, so I've already signed up with all of the airlines' websites.
Wow.
So I am getting direct emails from them on flash deals. Now, I get these every single week. So there are good deals to be had on, say, Alaska Airlines. Southwest, Delta, and JetBlue are all running Travel Tuesday specials. But be sure to check the fine print for blackout date.
Oh, yeah.
And then, right? And then also, if you pull it up on, say, you're looking on your Chrome browser and you put in a couple of dates that you want to go to Paris and you see a price, you know, $550 round trip to Paris. And then you go and you search a few other sites, and when you come back, you see $750 on that same flight.
Mm-hmm.
That is the airline tracking you looking for the best deal.
Ooh.
So it's best to either go incognito mode or switch your browser to another browser, block your cookies, little tips like that, so because they will drive the price up based on your area. They do, based on your area code, based on your history of travel, and that information is getting to them instantly through algorithms. So you will find those prices higher, and that's a little trick to kind of lower the prices, especially if you're looking specifically for a trip.
I like it. I like the tricks. The smaller airlines, it sounds like, are offering the best discounts. I did read that somewhere. Southwest, JetBlue, Delta, they're offering some good deals today, and the flight and hotel packages, too. Also, good deal. Skyscanner was something I had heard about today.
Yes.
Is that something else we should know about? Because apparently you can track a lot of great deals on that one website or perhaps an app as well.
Skyscanner is a fantastic tech tool to use to any time of the year and especially now. It's similar to these other browser extensions in that it's constantly looking for the lowest price and best deal, but it'll also give you some history on specific trips to specific locations. And if you can be a little bit flexible with your dates, it will show you the lowest day, say, to fly out and fly back. So it can definitely help you get bigger and better discounts when it comes to travel. Also of note, you mentioned smaller airlines.
Mm-hmm.
Frontier Airlines has one-way flights today from $14. A lot of big resorts, Sandals Resorts, has up to 65% off. I'm getting all of that straight from dealnews.com.
Mm-hmm.
Norwegian Cruise Lines offering a 30% discount on cruises and allowing bookings to have up to 5 free offers. So those are great deals if you're planning to go on a cruise anyway.
Right, that's the thing. Or else you're like, okay, I need this cruise. It's only $1,539. You're like, wait a minute, I can't really afford that in my holiday budget, but that's the way it goes. Jennifer, you do have an interesting story coming up, and maybe you can preview it a little bit for us. It's a story about tech gifts that you're going to have in USA Today. Tech gifts that pay you back.
Yes, that's right. I mean, sometimes you have to spend a little money in order to save a little money. I love deal hunting, scouring discounts on things that I really need. I pretty much don't pay retail for anything. But with a lot of specific tech tools, you can actually let them pay for themselves or even pay you back over time. I'm talking about things like Google's Nest Thermostat E. It can lower your monthly energy cost by 15% or more. Security systems can easily use, there's $20 security cameras on the market today, like Wyzecam, W-Y-Z-E. That's $20. There's no monthly subscription fee with that. That can save you money over time, but it can also let you know if CO2 or your smoke alarm is beeping, or, you know, if there's some stranger porch pirate trying to steal your packages.
All good stuff to know.
Those are the kinds of things we're talking about, yeah.
Jennifer Jolly, award-winning consumer tech lifestyle contributor for USA Today. She saves you money. We appreciate your advice. Thank you for checking in here on WGN Radio.
Thank you so much for having me, and happy holidays.
You too. Thanks, Jen. Coming up here, we've got trending topics and more to come. Animal Care League is another recommendation as your charity ideas keep coming, and we appreciate them. A lot of these are very local, which are the ones that, as we said, you need a lot of, they don't have marketing budgets, and so it's really word of mouth and just understanding what they do. Animal Care League is in Oak Park. They are at $21,000. They're trying to hit $30,000 by 3 o'clock today. So they have a donor matching all donations by 3 o'clock, dollar for dollar. So that's a nice place. If that's where you want to give, check that out. Thank you to the 773 caller there, texter there, who let us know about that. All right, let's turn to trending topics right now. A couple things that are going on here in the world that you need to know about. And one of them is Baby Yoda.
Oh, my God. I love Baby Yoda. He's so cute.
So cute. And my daughter started watching The Mandalorian, which is what, a series?
Yeah. It's phenomenal. Yeah. So it's a Star Wars story. It's kind of based shortly after The Empire Falls. So the original series, episode 4, 5, and 6.
So this is separate from the new movie that's coming out.
Yes.
Because there's a new movie that's the last of the original Star Wars saga. This is totally separate. It's a Disney Plus thing, isn't it?
Right. So Disney Plus, obviously coming out, wanted to make sure that they had a pretty solid show that would be different and something new for people to watch. And I think they did a really good job in picking something Star Wars related. And just how they've structured the show, it's very good. Visually, it's really appealing, and the storyline is interesting.
And we think that Baby Yoda, I think we have a clip of something from The Mandalorian. Let's listen to this. This is part of what they that kind of put out as a promo for the series.
Is the world more peaceful since the revolution? It is good to restore the natural order of things. Don't you agree?
The Mandalorian.
Ooh, I have no idea what's going on there, but it sounds like, it sounds good. And the Baby Yoda doesn't really speak, right? So we couldn't hear.
Right.
Does Baby Yoda speak?
No, he makes little noises, you know. He's a baby, even though he's technically 50 years old. Again, the question right now watching the show is, who he really is, because if you go based on the original storyline, Yoda's not there anymore. So is it just another, you know, creature of this breed, or is it like a reincarnate thing? You know, mm-hmm. I don't know if people know based on the books or anything like that. I'm not so into Star Wars that I've read everything or watched everything on it.
You're pretty into Star Wars, Lauren.
Yes.
If you don't know about it, very few people do. I'm going to say that. The one thing I'm going to say is there's Baby Yoda, if you haven't seen him, it's a him.
I guess.
I don't know. Yoda was a him, I think. But
they call him the son in there, like, you know.
The son?
Because, you know, Mandalorian is now watching over him, so people will be like, oh, you know, your boy, your son.
He's going to sell a lot of merchandise, this little Baby Yoda.
Oh, my
gosh.
He's
so cute. I'm sure Disney thought about that in placing this little Baby Yoda there.
He's I can't wait
so
for the plush. The plush toy.
I know. I think the toys are already out, aren't there? There's a ton of stuff on Baby Yoda.
I bet there is. I just haven't seen it yet.
I haven't either.
But it makes my heart melt every time I see him.
I know, it's so cute. And over the holiday week, it was the gift we needed, the feel-good kind of gift, just that he started appearing on all at social media.
So many memes already created. As I scroll through Facebook and Twitter, there is just so many different types of memes featuring Yoda, Baby Yoda.
There's that one shot where Baby Yoda is holding what looks like a little of soup, like a little bowl of soup.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. just sort of looking at, out in the, you know, very non-judgy kind of looking out.
He's just like looking. Yeah. He's so cute.
He really is.
He's a little bit of a rascal. So, you know, you love him even more for that factor.
Does he take over the role of R2-D2? Is that what Baby
no.
Yoda is?
No. Okay. No. The storyline is, so Mandalorian, it's this group of basically bounty hunters, and that's kind of why the connection to his helmet, the main character's helmet, looks somewhat familiar to Boba Fett. Mm-hmm. So it's this group, and he is supposed to go collect this bounty, and it ends up being Baby Yoda. Mm-hmm. So now it's like, well, what do you do? And obviously you see where the storyline goes based on the decision-making process for the Mandalorian, and yeah, so you start to follow their story. I don't want to give away too much, but
no,
it's really good.
I'm not sure I understand everything, but I did catch like little snippet of it when it was on in my house, mm-hmm. and I was like, okay, that looks super cute. Maybe I'll give it a try.
Yeah, just to see Baby Yoda, it is worth it.
So true. We have another one here that I think will appeal to Kev, because I actually thought of Kev when I saw this. Did you see this guy? He's a Browns fan, right? He just goes on this huge rant.
Saw it.
Did you relate to it?
I don't know if I'd go that far, but that guy's a diehard. You know, you can relate. You can kind of pull some comparisons between the Bears and the Browns, because the Browns had so much hype before the season with Baker Mayfield,
totally.
and the fan base was like, finally, we're turning a corner. And that's basically exactly how Bears fans felt before this season. Bears in a better position than the Browns, but there are some comparisons.
But
to
I
it
mean,
as
like
well.
A couple games ago, didn't we all kind of feel super deflated?
Oh yeah,
just like, oh my gosh, you know,
totally.
It's just getting
didn't think
worse.
You'd win another game.
Let's play this, because this has totally gone viral. This guy, he's a Cleveland Browns fan, going on this amazing rant, and then he does something at the end.
Well, the Browns season is now over. After all that hype, all that promise, all the talent that was assembled, it was all wasted. We lost to the Steelers again. They had a third-string quarterback, uh-huh. undrafted, named after an animal that quacks. We playing Pig Jones next week? Moose Smith? We just got all the barn animals we're going to play and we're going to lose to them? I'm so tired. I am curious, raining outside. I don't give a damn. I'm so tired of the Browns wasting my life, wasting my time. I get dressed up and wear these stupid brown and orange colors, only for them to just waste it. So much talent.
Okay, and at the end
so
there, we can
talent.
Probably cut it there, because you can see he's getting breathless and he's getting crazy. And then he jumps into Lake Erie. He's like, I'm just going to jump into Lake Erie.
He just jumps in the lake.
I don't know what that does for anyone, but that's what he decides to do.
That is too funny. I think a lot of people can relate, you know, not necessarily just Bears fans, but fans of sports at some point in their life.
I mean, I think of the unspeakable thing that happened at Soldier Field in early January against the Eagles.
Ugh.
And the reaction from a lot of fans on social media. People just losing their minds. I mean, you gotta love sports. I mean, the passion people have. Like that guy could just be a totally normal person, like an everyday accountant or something, or like a
totally.
Financial expert.
But he has to lose it.
On game day, he puts on his ugly Browns jersey and he loses it as a fan. And that's what makes sports great, I think. Or maybe not so great.
Well,
I don't know.
Bears fans are like, I didn't know Browns fans were that passionate. I guess
they are. I mean, there's a lot of history with that team, mm-hmm. and they've basically, they are always bad. So, I think for that guy, you know,
he had hope.
He had so much hope, and
poor guy.
Everyone bought into the Browns before the season, and they're not making the playoffs.
It has not happened.
No.
Lauren, do you have something you've seen? You saw something trending today?
Yeah. So, well, this was brought up yesterday between me, Ro, and Kevin. But have you seen all the new commercials with ET in it? They're bringing ET back, and mm-hmm. Elliot is like a grown man now, and apparently they're going to have a little series.
They're competing with Baby Yoda. They got to bring it back.
I feel like they are, but I am terrified of ET. Terrified.
Yeah, there was a moment during the break where I was like, what's happening? Because Lauren was freaking out, and on one of the TVs in the studio, there was a commercial for ET. And did you have a traumatic experience with ET as a child, or what happened there?
I don't know what started this. I just know this is embedded from my childhood. I remember even being at Disney, going to go on that ride, and I felt like I was in a living hell, waiting in that line and going through everything. I involuntarily scream when I see him. I don't know what it is.
Have you seen ET?
Yes.
Have you seen the full movie?
Yes. And so I definitely watched it as a child.
I thought Yoda, I mean, I thought E.T. was like this lovable little, sweet little,
I know.
Like, almost like a puppy dog kind of character.
I don't know why it bothered.
I figured you'd think he'd like a cute little guy or something.
That initial scene when he is like shuffling forward towards the kid, it is so scary. And then when he screams and his neck goes all the way up and that
E.T.
awful noise.
As a child, there are some moments, like the way it's shot, that are kind of creepy and kind of freak you out if you're a kid watching it. But overall, E.T., yeah, I don't know.
And the voice, like, Elliot. Like, that is creepy.
I never found him to be creepy, so well. But Lauren was full-blown panic mode
that
yesterday.
That is new to me, too, because I remember when E.T. came out, like, 100 years ago, and everybody thought he was cute, and we all bought the toys and that kind of thing.
The stuffed animals.
630 says, there are currently no Baby Yoda toys yet. I would wonder why. Wow. They didn't want to leak the look of him.
Oh.
You can get a bad t-shirt, but none of the toys yet. But that's going to be hot when they come out.
Mm-hmm. They're going to sell so much Yoda gear for Christmas time.
Rokon show coming up next here.
We miss you, Anna. We miss you so much.
Miss you, Mom.
Miss you guys.